When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Carson Anderson program. Ah, yes, this is the time of the year where Doug is not on the show, but I am. Kang's here for another day.
Yesterday was our last show, all three of us together, for the year.
Yes, for the year. And then things change. Listen, we're towards the end of the year here. This is what happens. It's December. We have vacations. People take vacation days, and this is where we're at. But we're here with you today. Looking forward to taking your calls and texts at 248-539-9797. Like to get the Twitch and YouTube crowds involved as well. I know they like to get the discussions going on the message boards there. It's a lot of fun. Sometimes we sift through some of that and bring it into the show. So feel free to comment there. So you can log on to twitch.tv, search 971 The Ticket, and you can see the show streamed live with video here in the studio. Same thing with YouTube. Go to youtube.com, search for 971 The Ticket, and you'll see that as well. But we start the show, Kang, with, I was at one point last night, I was so happy, and then I ended up being so sad. And it's not what we're going to get to, which is Pistons and Red Wings, with, you know, one team playing well enough to win, the other team not even close. It was the weather. I went out yesterday and I was doing some Christmas dinner shopping. And when I got done doing the shopping, I had to get to my car, and it's a downpour. And the place was, the grocery store was packed, as you might expect this close to Christmas day. And I was expecting that. But it's raining and it's just awful, and it's cold, but not cold enough for it to freeze up or to turn to snow. It's miserable. And I got a long walk to get to the car. I'm soaking wet by the time I get there. I get home, trying to thaw out. I'm not happy about it. Watch some TV. And then at some point, I look outside and I realize, oh, it's changed over to snow. And I'm like, yes, here we go. White Christmas. That's all I want. I just want a white Christmas. I love the snow on Christmas. I don't love it when it wreaks havoc on the streets. That's not what I'm about. But I do like it for the aesthetics. I think it's pretty. I think it looks nice and it puts you in a mood. And I love being in the Christmas mood. So that's falling. I got some lights outside and I can see the snow falling. The dog's loving it. I'm like, this is great. This is awesome. And then at some point last night, that changed to like freezing rain. And I'm thinking, oh, crap. Here we go. This is not going to be good. This is going to be a horrible commute in the morning. People are going to be complaining and people are going to be sliding and skidding out, and there's going to be accidents. This is no good. Nobody wants that right before Christmas. And then I wake up this morning and it's kind of changed over. It's just a light drizzle and then that kind of stopped, right? But the problem is, and the temperatures are going to get up above 35 today, and same thing tomorrow for Christmas Day, is that, Kang, my fear is that I'm no longer going to have a white Christmas.
Yeah, it's not looking good right now, as long as the temperatures stay above 32. You had that moment last night. I had that moment too last night because I was out as well doing some last minute shopping for, you know, Christmas Eve dinner and some gifts and things like that. And we'll get to more of that later.
Definitely.
But yeah, I saw it coming down. I'm like, oh man, it looks nice. It's getting a little slippery, but you know, we'll see how we handle it. Most people are off work, so it shouldn't be too bad in the morning. And more in the morning, it's more, the roads were fine because the rain basically melted it all away. And yeah, I'm sorry, Gator, but I'll tell you this, and I say it every year. Winter is still coming. We will still get snow at some point. It will be cold, and just wait, right? That's how it is in Michigan.
But that's not what I wanted.
I know. You just might not get it for Christmas. That's all. But I feel like we've been getting some light, non-white Christmases recently.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole climate change thing that people say.
Yeah, everything's getting pushed back a little bit. Or
yeah. Which is a whole other topic not for today or the show.
It's not on the show sheet, Gator.
It's not on the show sheet. A lot of stuff is, but that's not on the show sheet to talk about climate change. But I was really just hoping. We got a glimpse. We had some snow had been here for like a week. I'm like, yeah, okay, maybe we got a chance. I'm looking at the future forecast. It looks like it's going to be good. Might even add some more snow to it. Awesome. Here we go. And then, alas, you get the 2 days before Christmas, or the day before Christmas and then Christmas Day, that the temperature is going to be like 36, 37 degrees. Like, damn it. It's all going to go. It's going to be sloppy. It's going to be wet outside and not in a good way.
So I'm like you. I'm a summer guy. You're a summer guy. Yeah. We don't really enjoy winter. We don't take advantage of the outdoors here, I guess, whatever. But I do kind of want some snow for selfish reasons because I do have family coming in from town,
mm-hmm.
from California. And one of the reasons they're coming in town, besides just seeing us, is they do actually want to see some snow. So I'm like, you know, for you guys, I hope it snows a little bit. I hope you guys get some, you know, you can see, you know, build a snowman, go ice skating, whatever. We'll take them around. But that's all weather dependent, and I can't control the weather. We can show them around Detroit, all that stuff, but the snow part, it's up to Mother Nature. So I hope we do get a little bit of snow at some point in the next week here. So
yeah, it's a bummer. It's a bummer. 248-539-9797. Matt is first up here on a cell phone. Matt, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's up, Gator? Merry Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, because I won't be here tomorrow.
Well, thank you. Same to you.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to you talking about the weather, and God, the Red Wings didn't make it any better.
No.
The Lions, man, they're a freight train. Nothing's going to be, you know, stop them in their way. They got, what, 20, 30 people on the IR list. They're, doesn't matter. They're going to go all the way. And, yeah, that's it. And then I was just going to tell you, whenever you get a chance, I'm listening for when you open your Christmas present.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah. I will run to the where it is during the commercial break, and we'll see what we can do.
I'm telling you, you're going to love it. I immediately thought of you when I saw it.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem, man.
All right. Take care, Matt. Yeah, with the Lions, I'm a little concerned that I'm not as chesty about the run to the Super Bowl as Matt is. I love what they're doing. I don't know if they're a freight train anymore because of the injuries, but I still think they're formidable. I'm not ruling them out. I think they still have a great chance of winning the Super Bowl. I'm not throwing it out because, oh, woe is us, that they've lost this guy and this guy and this guy. I mean, the fact is they're getting some guys back. Getting Melifonwu back, I think, is huge for this team. And it'll we'll kind of explore that in a little bit as well, because I think it does change some things around for the defense in a positive way, actually, that makes them more formidable. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. I do want to talk about last night. There was good. There was bad last night. And maybe that's not even the right way to phrase it, because bad just doesn't seem like that's covering the bases when it comes to the Red Wings. What is going on with this Red Wing team, and how does it affect you? How has it changed you as a fan? 248-539-9797. This is 97.1 The Ticket. All right, so I need to thank caller Matt for dropping off, or actually not dropping off, but sending out a gift. If you're on Twitch, twitch.tv or youtube.com, and you search 97 The Ticket, you can watch us stream the show live. And I am opening the gift to see what this is. I have an idea because it kind of says on the packaging, but I will wait. Open this up. Styrofoam. Okay. It is a snow globe with it's a gator snow globe. Didn't know the gators like snow. but apparently, there you go. And then it comes with, I'm not sure what this is. It's another alligator head, I think, that holds a shot glass that says, bite me. Is that, that would be it? Okay. So that goes like that, and that goes like that. And excellent. All right. There it is. So thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Happy holidays to everybody. We'll take your calls and your texts at 248-539-9797. As you might expect, though, Kang, over the years I've acquired a number of gators. Lots of gators of all different kinds. Pencil holders, stuffed animals. My best friend in California sent me out like 25 years ago for a Christmas present. Actually, it was a birthday present. He sent me a stuffed animal gator that is like...
Oh, I think I've seen it.
It's like 4 feet long.
Yeah, it's actually giant. Cool. I like that.
It's massive that I have in my closet. Walk-in closet kind of stays up on the top and watches everything. The dog has gotten several alligator stuffed animals that it has shredded a couple. And the last one's it's managed to stand the test of time, which I'm very happy with. Because I'm tired of picking up the innards of the stuffed animals. And maybe finally, now that a dog is almost 10 years old, she has finally decided to stop tearing these things apart. I don't know. She did get a gift, Lois did.
From you?
Not from me.
Okay.
I mean, I've gotten her stuff, but yeah. She just got one that's it's in her stocking. Lois has a stocking. And it's a stuffed llama. And the llama's head is kind of sticking out, and she hasn't noticed it yet. Because I imagine if she sees it, then she's just going to go after the stocking. And actually, it's probably not a good idea to have anything peeking out, because then she's going to destroy the house when I'm gone. Nonetheless, so stuffed animals are appreciated as long as they're appropriate for the animal, the dog, if they're tough enough. Because I don't...
That llama's as good as done.
It seems like it's well constructed.
All right, we'll find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out.
Lowell's will put that to the test.
Yes, it's tough. I think it's tough. What doesn't look as tough, Kang, look at that transition, that segue. What doesn't look as tough are the Red Wings. It's frustrating as hell. I mentioned in the crosstalk with the guys in the morning show, I did some research last night, and sure enough, comes out that the Red Wings have actually played 34 games already on the season. Now, there are only 82 regular season games. We're getting close to the halfway point already. And when I mentioned that to you this morning, King, your response was?
Yeah, like no one even notices because of football season. I mean, exactly. They're almost halfway through the year, and everyone's like, huh? I mean, for the people that are kind of like fringe fans, not the hockey guy who's watching every single night that knows this, but like I think if you just asked your regular sports fan, hey, how many games do you think the Wings have played? Do you think they would say, well... I think they'd be shocked a little bit if you told them that they're almost at the halfway point of games played.
If the Lions make it to, let's say they make it to an NFC Championship game, the Red Wings will have played almost 20 more games on the season. If the Lions make it to the Super Bowl, you add a couple more to it. And now you're talking when the Lions season ends, the Red Wings could have played like their 55th game or something, which is crazy to think. And probably right up against the trade deadline and the whole bit. They have gone under the radar for the most part this whole season because of what the Lions have done. The Pistons have as well. Although the Pistons with the 13 wins already in right before Christmas is crazy to think because of last year's team, how bad last year's team was and how this year's team is way outpacing it. And I don't think they had their 13th win last year till what? April? The Pistons? Because how many? They went 14 all season last year or something like that? So the fact that they've already got 13 is interesting. When Stoney asked the question this morning.
Yeah, both the Lions and Pistons have 13 wins.
Lions, Pistons, and Red Wings all have 13 wins.
Is that weird?
That is crazy.
Did I just blow your mind?
You did.
Well, I think we blew each other's minds.
Yes. But that is crazy. To think that already. And
I wonder if that's like a, not a scoregami, of course, but some kind of weird ESPN stat info, like your professional hockey, basketball, and football team all have the exact same amount of wins.
I like it. I think it might be. I mean,
or just late in the year, at least.
It could be, right?
It's hard to win 13 games in football.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you could. Well, and even in football, like, your win total is interesting because to have your basketball team and hockey team, which are roughly the same season, right? They only start a couple weeks apart from each other or right around the same time. But to line that win total up with the football team is tough. This sounds like something Greg from the morning show would do.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's not all over it. Oh, he's off.
Oh, is that?
Yeah,
okay.
That's why.
Otherwise, Greg would be all over it. Yeah.
Well, did maybe, you know?
Yeah, maybe Greg can do this in his spare time. Well, he's
stat of the day. Stoney was here.
Yeah, right. And then we get the sounder that Doug loves so much. That would be great. That's crazy. I didn't even realize. Then you throw the Lions in. All three teams in Detroit have 13 wins. Lions are absolutely steamrolling through this at 13-2, which I still can't believe they're 13-2. The Pistons are, what are the Pistons? 13-17 on the season now. Yeah, they're 13-17. And then you've got the Red Wings, who are 13-17-4. This is not a good place to be for Red Wings. It's just not, right? We know they're playing poorly. They've lost four of the last six games. It's worse when you go further back because they had a five-game losing streak. They've lost nine of their last 12. Nine of their last 12 games. Not good. And people have been talking about the head coach for a long time. Derek Lalonde, should the Red Wings move on from him? And I'm not sure if it gives them a spark to jumpstart this thing and get it going. They're 34 games into the season. I mean, I kind of feel like they are what they are. They're already defined. At 34 games, you would think you're kind of defined. It's almost halfway through the year. And it's not good. And yet at the same time, I want to give a little bit of wiggle room because they're playing without Edvinson, who's their second best defender on the team. And yet, what does it say about the team when your second best defender is effectively a rookie? Like, there's Mo Sider, there's Simon Edvinson, and then it feels like there's a big old drop off before you get to Ben Chiarot and the rest. I'm confused with what the direction is with the team because we don't see the total commitment going to younger players. They're kind of hanging on, thinking like they can make this transition and get to the playoffs or be a wild card team. Like they were so close last year, came down to a tie-breaking situation at the end of the season, and they didn't make it. So I had hope this year because I thought that the moves that they made were going to make them better defensively. They give up fewer goals. I knew they were going to score fewer goals, but I didn't expect them to get shut out last night against St. Louis or only score one goal against Montreal the game before that. They just haven't been good at all. The acquisitions they made in the offseason, they haven't paid off. Tarasenko has been very disappointing. Gustafson has been disappointing. There have been a lot of players have been disappointing. I don't want to just throw it on those two, but those are probably two of the bigger names they acquired. Cam Talbot, the goaltender, he's been fine. But what they haven't done, like I mentioned, is they haven't made this full-on leap into the youth movement. Berggren has been scratched in games. Johansson, the defenseman, he hasn't played every game. He's been scratched a ton, actually. They're moving Kasper all over the place, and we don't know where he's really playing. And they've got guys that are playing at Grand Rapids that just haven't gotten the opportunity yet. And the Red Wings have always done this thing where they really kind of want to over-ripen the players before they bring them up. But the bottom line is that the talent level on this team, they don't have enough of the high-end talent. The players they've drafted in the first round that you have lots of hope for, I don't know if any of the new crop of players that we haven't seen yet, the knee guards and Sandy Pelikas of the world, if those guys have that high-end talent to be top line players. Danielson, is he going to be a top line player? I don't expect him to be. I expect them to be good players, but they haven't been able to draft that generational player. As good as Lucas Raymond is, as much as I like Mo Sider, they're not that player. They're all really good players, but they don't have that high end talent. And the only way you get that high end talent is to acquire one in free agency, which they didn't do. I think they tried and then they got priced out and said they weren't going to do it. You can trade for it, but you're going eventually going to have to pay those players as well. And those players aren't always available to be traded. But when they are, you have to be willing to give up something to get something. Or you draft them. And the Red Wings have had some awful teams that have gotten screwed out of having better draft potential. They continue to draft below what their position was supposed to be because the lottery has screwed the Red Wings every single turn, which has been unfortunate. But that's how you get them. That's how you get the big players. And they have not been able to do so. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. We'll talk Red Wings. We'll talk Pistons. Of course, we're going to talk Lions. In fact, we'll talk Lions with the quarterback, Jared Goff. That'll come up next here on 97.1, The Ticket. Hey, when it comes to garage doors, there's one place to call. It's Precision Garage Door. They are amazing. Cold weather, it's rough. And it's only going to get colder out as we enter the early days of winter. We know it's going to get colder. It can wreak havoc on your garage doors, the springs, the rollers, all the moving parts. They can break when the temperature drops. So make sure that everything is ready to go. Call Precision Garage Door. They'll come out. They'll do the maintenance on the garage doors. They'll teach you how to do the maintenance on the garage doors. And if you need new garage doors, well, they can hook you up there as well because they do same-day service. So they can get the garage door back to you in no time. I've worked with Daryl's crew. They're amazing. They have garage doors in stock at the warehouse. They can install a new door for you in as little as 24 hours. So give them a call today, 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or visit them on the online, I should say, at precisiondoormi.com. All right, as we await Jared Goff, it looks like we had him and then we lost him, so we'll call back and we'll talk to the quarterback in just a second. Apparently, we have soldiers at work trying to find out if the 13-13-13 is the first time in history that that's happened where the basketball team, the football team, and the hockey team all have the same number of wins at this point in the season. I mean, this late in the year. I mean, the three, the craziest is the Lions are 13-2. That's the crazy part. And so let's speaking of Lions, let's talk to the quarterback. So, Jared, thanks again for taking time out. As always, we appreciate it. Gators with you today. Doug will be back, hopefully next week or the week after. But, it's crazy hectic times. I imagine that being the quarterback of a National Football League team right around Christmas, it's got to be hectic on you, too, trying to balance everything.
Yeah, it can be. You know, you're obviously dealing with Christmas on your family side, which is important, and then you're dealing with the football side, and got a lot of people to get gifts for, a lot of people you're thankful for, and trying to manage it all. But yeah, it's a good problem to have.
Have you been able to maneuver all that? Are you an online shopper? Are you somebody who goes to the mall? How have you been able to get? And are you done, or are you like last second shopper today?
I'm done. I've actually created a little good system for myself with us playing on Thanksgiving every year. That weekend we usually have off. Now, this year, we didn't have that weekend off because we had the Thursday game the next week, but I tried to squeeze it all in, you know, kind of after that game and get on Amazon and do all the shopping online and get it all done.
So is that typically how you do your shopping now, just online, or do you still like to get out to the stores and, you know, get a look at things? And
you know, I typically go online, yeah. I do. It's just a little bit easier, and, I can find stuff a little bit easier.
What's Christmas going to be like this year in the Goff household? Is it just you and the wife, or you got the family coming in, you got in-laws coming in? How's that work for you?
Nothing special. Yeah, just me and my wife and just hanging and our dog, and it'll be nice and quiet, and it'll be good.
Well, so far with the season, this has been absolutely incredible. The win number 13, you got it on the road at Chicago. It's another huge day for the offense. Defense does their job to hold the Bears to just 17 points. Are these road trips truly just business trips for you guys at this point? I mean, do you squeeze in fun, or is the fun just playing the game?
Yeah, the fun is playing the game. There's I don't know how much fun other than that. You know, you're out there very briefly and staying the night and leaving. But yeah, the fun is just playing the game and being able to win on the road anytime, you know, I know last year we lost in Chicago. So that was important for us to win that one on the road against a team that beat us last year at their place. And we wanted to get that one.
Do you like have, I imagine you don't physically have a checklist, but maybe it's a mental checklist with a bit of a revenge tour. You mentioned you lost to Chicago on the road last year. Well, you beat them this year. You know, the San Francisco game coming up, you lost in the NFC Championship game there. You go there for Monday night's game. Is that another item on the mental checklist, or does that not even enter a thought?
Sure, yeah. I think every week you're trying to find an edge of, you know, why it means a little bit extra. And obviously every win, you know, means a lot because it does. But, yeah, of course. I think, you know, they beat us on the road last year and in Chicago, and we wanted to get that one. Like you said, we lost the NFC Championship to San Francisco last year in San Francisco, so there'll be plenty of motivation there. Anytime you play a division team on anywhere, at home or away, you're always motivated there. And yeah, so you try to find those edges, and certainly we'll use that again this week.
I imagine as a player and as a quarterback in particular that you like to challenge yourself. You like to be challenged. There are tests every week. There's a different test with a different opponent, and you have to prepare for it. When you were a kid, as a student, did you like to be tested? Did you like tests? Or is this just only a competitive thing as a professional athlete?
Yeah, good question. I guess I did like tests. Yeah, I like getting it out of the way. You know, I know the stuff. Let's go. Let's go do the test. Let me show you I know it and move on.
Obviously, winning, that's going to be the main objective going into any game. But as far as a game plan is concerned, what was the objective going into the Chicago game? And how close were you guys to really executing that game plan to perfection?
Yeah, I think Dan was kind of saying it all week, and I'm sure he said it to you guys, but just playing our style of football, you know, getting back to the Detroit culture and our Detroit brand, and not that we strayed away from that, but I think, you know, in a game like that, in a division, we both know each other. We knew that just leaning on what we do would help us and, you know, be who we are and really, you know, dig into that identity of what we do, offensively, defensively, special teams, the whole thing would carry us through.
Is that a ridiculous goal to have, to strive for perfection, or is that something that, you know, it's just kind of like golf? You always try to attain it knowing it's not going to be there.
Yeah, you always try. You always try or trying to do it. I'm trying to, you know, have every play, you know, for me be perfect. And but it's really hard. It really is. And, you know, but yeah, you strive for big goals, and hopefully you land close to it, and you'll be happy about it.
In the game itself, you guys, like I said, you played, it looked like nearly flawlessly offensively. I'm sure you like to have a couple plays back, not scoring touchdowns in the red zone, ending up with field goals. But when guys make mistakes, whether it's a missed block or a drop pass or perhaps taking an unnecessary penalty, what's your approach as the quarterback and leader of this team to move forward when something like that happens?
Yeah, it's really not that difficult. You just have to, you can't fix what's already happened, so you just focus on what's next. And we've got a good group that does that every time something like that happens. We have a holding, we have a false start, we, you know, have a negative play, I take a sack, like stuff like that. All right, now it's 2nd and 15. Let's overcome this situation. How do we get to 3rd and 7 and then convert on the 3rd down? So it's very, you know, one play at a time and trying to get everyone to focus on what matters, which is the next play, and just focusing on that.
Did you talk to Ben Johnson about taking a deep shot to J-Mo after his penalty to try to get him back involved? And, hey, look, it's in the past. Yuck, throw it in the garbage. Let's get this guy involved. Or was that just happenstance when the play comes to be?
That was just happenstance. Yeah, I think the penalty he got, I think we all knew was kind of ticky-tack. And so I don't think there was as much – you know, people being upset about it as the previous one last time we played them. And it was, I mean, he spun the ball, you know, it happens every single game. I don't think that's necessarily a penalty, but so we moved past that pretty quickly, and we know J-Mo's heart and what he means to us and his competitiveness. So no, there was never any dissatisfactory towards that.
When fans see a play like that, the 82-yard touchdown pass, everyone lights up. Like they can see that you're setting up in a pocket. You step forward. You've got the time to throw, and you're unloading the pass. I think everybody watching the Lions game is thinking, Jameson Williams is going to be on the other end of that. It's a play that kind of harkens me back to playing backyard football as a kid. And I was a quarterback playing and throwing, always wanted to throw the deep ball. Did you always want to throw the deep ball when you were playing like backyard football? And do you get that feeling when you get an opportunity in a game like Sunday?
Of course, yeah, always, always. And he's as good as they get in our league at running past guys and going and tracking those things down, so anytime I can lay one out there for him to go get it, it's big. And I think in the last, you know, handful of weeks, we've kind of, you know, found a good rhythm there in practice, and then it's shown up in the games a couple of times. And yeah, he's as fast as they get, man. And I just got to lay one out there for him and let him go get it. And I think that does a lot for his confidence and my confidence throwing it. And yeah, I hope to hit more of those.
Have you seen the replays of Antoine Randle-El running down, hopping down the sideline, watching it unfold?
Yeah, of course. El's the best, man. He's got good energy and keeps those guys accountable, and was excited for that. That was fun.
Do you get the impression, or maybe you know this, maybe it's just a fact among the team there, that is Antoine Randle-El a guy that thinks he can still play?
No, I don't think so. I think he knows he's past his time. Now, if you need him to play slot for a few plays, I'm sure, yeah, he'd go in there and do that and, you know, stay within 10 yards and run routes like that. But, you know, I think he'd be the first one to tell you if he had to open it up right now. I don't know, you know, how comfortable he'd be with that. But, yeah, he's a hell of a coach, and I'm happy we got him.
Have you ever had an assistant coach in the past, whether it was college, professional, whatever, that came across and let you guys know, you know, I could still play? Where everybody would give the eye roll, or conversely, was there a player that you're like, this, a coach that you say, this guy could definitely still play? I'm sure why he's coaching at this point.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know if I've ever had coaches that say that. You know, some of the guys that transitioned to coaching right away, like Sean Dion Hamilton on our staff, was a player for us the year before, and then he was a coach. So yeah, he could probably still play, you know, if he wanted to. He's obviously happy coaching. I think when I first got here, seeing Kelvin Shepherd, like he could have still gone at that time. I thought when the first year here in Detroit, and he was fresh off the plane as well. So we used to always joke with him, hey man, you got any snaps left in you? And he's, no, I don't got any. But yeah, we got a lot of coaches that used to play, and it's fun joking with them about if they were to go out there now, what would happen. And I think they're all very comfortable in their roles. So
a lot was made of the stumble bum play. It's brilliant. I saw it run by Michigan State years ago, and then I guess you guys admitted that Ben Johnson admitted that he picked it up from a Jordan Love play last season. When he asked you in practice about the fumbling, you kind of said, maybe let's not do that. But I always thought this, the specialty guys, like the punters and kickers, they have so much time in their hands during practice. Those guys are wizards with handling the ball and ball skills and bouncing it off the ground. Could you ever see this working with a special teams play where the punter grabs it, maybe bounces it on the ground to himself and then throws it?
Right. Yeah. I guess they got enough time to practice, right? Yeah. That could be something that would work. I thought it was funny when I came in on Monday and Ben asked me, he showed me the clip. He said, you think you can do this? And I'm like, fumble it? Like on purpose? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, I kind of laughed at him. I thought he was joking. And he was serious. And I'm like, dude, I don't know about putting it on the ground. And then we kind of went back and forth and he came up with the happy medium of what we ended up doing. But yeah, he comes up with some fun ideas, man, and some crazy ideas. And I think that's what makes him great is he's willing to try things, and we've done a million things that have never made it to the game that we've tried, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, maybe we're saving it, you know. So, yeah, he's willing to try things, he's willing to keep it fun, and he's willing to fail, and who cares, because it's, you know, what we want to do.
Sam LaPorta was wide open on the play, but you had a couple other receivers. Looking at it afterwards on film, I don't know if you have or haven't, but were those guys wide open too, and LaPorta's just the number one option?
Yeah, LaPorta's really the only guy to go to there on that play. Yeah, and he's wide open. So he got it.
We had a caller last week say that he was at a Billy Joel concert. I think it was in Florida. And he said that a Jared Goff chant broke out at a Billy Joel show in Florida. What is, I imagine people have gotten to you over the last several months and said things like, dude, we heard a Jared Goff chant blank.
Yeah.
What's the craziest place you've heard the Jared Goff chant breaking out?
Oh, I don't know. Like a supermarket or something. I don't know. You know, it's fun. The fans are incredible. And I've said it before, but like anytime that we're on the road and stuff like that happens, or you can hear them affecting the offense when we're on the road, you know, it's really special. And it's fun to be a part of.
I have one last question. Then Kang, our producer, is going to ask you one. Bengals quarterback, okay, Joe Burrow just got his lineman samurai swords as a Christmas gift. He went and got himself a Batmobile as a Christmas gift. Is he setting the bar a little too high for quarterbacks and what they have to do for their linemen? Or have you thought about that? You guys?
I saw what they got. I got my guys nice package of stuff. You know, it's we'll keep it in house, but it's nice. I hope they're happy with it. But yeah, you know, I saw what Purdy did too with the trucks, and I thought that was kind of like, come on, man. And I might say something to him next week, like, dude, you got to relax with that. You know, I know you got the Toyota deal, but we don't, you know, you're buying everyone $50,000 cars. We got issues, you know? So, yeah, but Joe seemed good too. Samurai Sword, I thought that was very creative. Maybe I can get a little bit more creative in the future. I've had some creative ones in the past, but it's hard, man. It's hard trying to find something that those guys will, all 15 of them will like. But it's fun. It's fun tradition. I love being a part of it. Love getting those guys some stuff. And, yeah, it's cool.
It's a long way from isotoner gloves that Dan Marino used to give out. Kang, our producer, has a question for you.
Hey, Jared, it's Kang here. I got a non-football one for you real quick. I know it's crazy that you've been here 4 years. I don't know if it's been slow or fast for you or how you felt since you've been here, but I know when you first got here, you had an experience of Michigan winter, like a full Michigan winter. I actually have family coming into from town from, I think the same area as where you're from. They're from Fremont, California. And we're at a text thread and the family thread right now. It's hilarious. And she's like, do I need to order Amazon snow boots from Amazon? Or like, what do you guys do with your coats when you guys go inside? Like, she's cracking me up with all these questions. She says she doesn't want to look like someone from California that stands out. So when you got here, Jared, any advice for her or people, you know, like that are coming to Michigan for the holidays for the first time and what your experience was like experiencing winters and any advice for that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think I remember my first year here. I bought like 4 or 5 massive winter coats. And now, you know, now they just sit in my coat closet and I've used them once. But I thought, you know, hey, man, you know, it's going to be cold, you know, it's snowing, whatever. Now I have, you know, one or two that I use that are not like tundra level cold stuff. So, yeah, it's funny that she's doing that. That's what I did my first year here. But, yeah, advice, yes, be careful on the roads. You know, it does get slick. You know, wear a hoodie. I think the gloves are important when you're on walks. But yeah, it's not that cold. You know, you can bear it. It's not too bad.
Yeah, I told her she'll be fine. It's not like the Arctic or anything like that. But like I said, she's from Fremont. She's never experienced it. And I just had to tell her one thing, and I don't know if you when you learned this or if you did. When you get in the car, you go butt first, and you got to double tap the boots, right, before you get in the car.
That's right. Of course, yeah. And I got to be careful when I'm getting out of my car, hitting my leg on the skirt. You know, you don't want to get the mud on the back of your leg.
Yep.
From where I'm driving. And so yeah, you learn a lot of little tricks. You know, the Michigan lefts or, you know, the U-turns we got to do out here. It's different for me.
Sound advice. We appreciate it. Hey, best of luck to you on Monday night in San Francisco, Jared.
All right. Thank you, guys. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, too. Jared Goff, our Detroit Lions quarterback, joining us here on 97.1 The Ticket. Well, I know you see them. They're the red, white, and blue trucks. They are everywhere. You don't want to wait for Santa to bring you a solution to your plumbing and HVAC problems. I mean, look, we're the day before Christmas here, but this is good after Christmas, too. Call the expert technicians at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. They're going to get your house holiday ready, just like they did for me. My house is ready to go. But don't just take my word for it. You can check out their A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, some of their 5-star reviews on Google. So whether it's your furnace or water heater, a boiler, or water filtration, schedule an appointment online at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts. Our thanks to Jared.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Goff and Detroit Lions. They got a big game on Monday night against the San Francisco 49ers at San Francisco. Could be a massive game. If you watched the game last night, wasn't very competitive. The Packers and the Saints. The Packers, what they shut out the Saints, it was 27-0. The first shutout of the season in the NFL. It's the latest in an NFL season for the league to record the first shutout. And the Packers were able to do that. They looked awfully good, able to run the ball at will. Jordan Love was throwing the ball just fine. And I don't know if you watched Kang, but Malik Willis, when he came in, he threw some dimes, man. He looked good. He looked really good. And I wonder if Green Bay Sports Talk Radio gets the same calls that we do here. Regarding the backup quarterback, whether it's, oh, they should, you know, elevate this guy or that they should trade this guy. And we had all those calls saying the Lions should move Hendon Hooker to try to entice the Raiders for Max Crosby. I wonder if Green Bay goes through the same thing with Malik Willis. Malik Willis couldn't do anything in his previous stop in Tennessee, but hey, now that he's been at Green Bay for this season, he's been in I think 7 games now, he looks good. He looks competent. You know he's athletic as hell. He can certainly run, but it's the throw last night. He had one throw to Jaden Reed down the sideline for 34 yards. It was just absolutely on a rope. I was quite impressed with that. So the significance of that is that Sunday's game, the Vikings and the Packers. Packers are at Minnesota. It's been changed to a 4:25 game now. And that game's massive because if the Packers beat the Vikings and then the Lions go out and beat San Francisco on Monday night, the Lions wrapped up the number one seed. And that would be amazing. So that you can get into a scenario where that last game of the season against Minnesota, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. I mean, sure, certainly the Lions want to win, and Dan Campbell will stress that. But I would have a hard time thinking that some of the key starters would be playing in that game if they don't have to. Even though what he said about this game coming up is they're not going to rest anybody regardless of what happens in the Minnesota Green Bay game. They're going at a full tilt against San Francisco. And the reason he says that is because there's the knowing that if Minnesota wins the game, then the Lions, if they win or lose against San Francisco, it doesn't matter. It still comes down to the last game of the year for all the marbles against Minnesota. And people had brought up on this show. They brought it up yesterday. We had a couple of callers saying, well, you know, if Minnesota wins on Sunday, should the Lions just rest some starters against San Francisco? And just that way they're just prepared to go at it for all the marbles on the following Sunday against the Vikings. And I understood the logic behind it, and I think it was worthy of the discussion. And then Dan Campbell came out yesterday after practice and spoke with the media and basically said, yeah, that's not happening. We're going full tilt in that game, regardless of what happens in the Minnesota Green Bay game. So I guess we're all rooting for Green Bay on Sunday so the Lions can clinch things on Monday night. That would be great. But it's not going to be easy. Traveling cross country is never fun. Taking on a banged up San Francisco team. Hey, you play the teams where they're at on the schedule, and this is a bad time for San Francisco to be playing anybody. Too bad. The Lions have all their own injuries, so nobody's going to cry for San Francisco here in Detroit because of what Detroit's going through. The Lions have been able to man up and make the most of the situation, and they're 13-2, and I cannot believe they still have 13 wins on the season with 2 games to go. Growing up and watching football all my life and seeing, you know, a 16-game schedule, you would see 13-3 and think that's unattainable. You might see a 14-2 team. Oh my God, if you saw a 15-1 team, I think the Dolphins 1 year were 15-1. Everybody thought they're going to match up against the Niners in the Super Bowl. I had these two fantastic teams go at it, and it didn't happen. You just don't know. You don't see those win totals that often. And here in Detroit, we've never come close. Like 13, that's a new high. And they could possibly go 14-3 or 15-2 in the regular season. That's insane to me. It's absolutely insane.
Well, the cool thing about the 13 wins as a franchise record is they did it within the 16 games, you know, so there's not that like, oh, they had an extra game to do it, you know, because, you know, it used to be 16 games, now it's 17. No, they did the 13 within, they're 13-2, they did it within 15 games. Yeah. Now everything else is just kind of like piling on, but what you want is, you want to be able to clinch the one seed. That's the number one most important thing. And if Green Bay does us a favor, you know, does us a solid, I know they're trying to win out for themselves, but if they beat Minnesota, you have that cushion, and I know Dan Campbell's going to play the players, but either win or lose the game, at least you know you have the one seed. And going into the final game against the Vikings, if they have the one seed clinched already, I don't know what to tell people. They're going to play the starters. Now, how long they're going to play the starters is the question. You only can keep 53 guys active. Remember when they were blown out teams and Penei Sewell was still out there in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
It's because they have to line up players still, people.
Yeah.
So let's say they have, quote-unquote, nothing to play for the final game of the year. Like, they have the one seed locked up, and, you know, obviously you can't get better than that. I imagine the starters will play the first half, and then guys like Jared Goff and St. Brown, you know, will sit the second half. But I'm telling you, like, Penei Sewell is probably going to play, you know, the whole game. You know, there's going to be guys like that playing the whole game. I mean, because that you still have to line up players, and you only have so many that you can suit up.
It'll be a nice problem to have if that's a scenario, and that's something we'll talk about more in depth next week, because I don't want to jinx things and start looking ahead and counting those chickens before they're hatched and every other cliche we can throw at you. But I am thinking about it. I just don't want to think out loud about it too long. It's a point to bring up. You only have a 53-man roster, and you have practice squad guys.
Yeah.
So would I imagine in that scenario, would there be a lot of guys brought up from the practice squad temporarily? Within the rules, I'm not sure what the rules are. Or how many? Because if you're bringing guys up, some guys have to go out, and they don't have that right now. So you're basically going to look at the 53-man roster to do that. And there would be players, I think obvious ones would be like Ragnow or Decker, guys that need that maintenance.
Yeah, like he might, like Ragnow might be a healthy scratch that final game. That it might be one or two guys that can get that.
Sam Laporta, maybe.
I don't know. Last year he played and he got hurt. Remember? They dodged a bullet that he was able to play in the playoffs.
Jahmyr Gibbs. I wouldn't play Jahmyr Gibbs in that scenario. I think they've got a stable of guys that you can plug in there.
Where you just roll Reynolds, Vaki, and Jefferson?
Yeah.
You know, like that could be an idea, but listen, if we have that problem, we'll love it, like you said. But right now, there's no guarantee that Green Bay is going to beat Minnesota, and there's no guarantee the Lions are going to beat the Niners, by the way.
No, there's not. But we'll get into more Lions discussion later on. We got a couple of guys on hold. Want to talk Red Wings? You want to talk Red Wings, Pistons, Lions? It's all here for you. 248-539-9797. It's the same number to text us as well. We'll read some text coming up and continue to talk